Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to New Covenant Church. What a great day. Beautiful day. Well, let's pray. Lord, we love you so much, and we do thank you for this great opportunity, as Wyatt said, for us to come together and be with you and worship in your presence, Lord. I love your promise that you're here with us every time we gather. And we do want to say that we're desperate for you this morning, Lord. We need you. We need you every day, every second of every day. You are the breath in our lungs, Lord. You're everything to us. And we gather in your name today, hoping that we're going to hear more about who you are and become more like you in the process, Lord. But I thank you for the fellowship amongst the body. I pray that you bless your people. I pray that you bless the message that is about to be shared. I pray that you help me to share it, Lord. I pray that you just make me a vessel, Lord, and the Holy Spirit will lead me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, for those of you that weren't here last week, I shared out of Hebrews 12 on the topic of enduring and enduring well. That God has called us to be a people of an endurance, that we aren't easily broken, that when the world is falling apart and can't make it, we are still there. That we will be able to endure hardships. Hebrews 12, which we came out of, said that Christ endured the cross for the joy set before him. He endured the most difficult thing, the most difficult trial that you could ever imagine, both physically, but I think and emotionally. There's a lot of people that have endured things, especially physical trauma, that is very, very difficult. But what Christ did that was different than any of us or anybody else in history is that he did no wrong. He did nothing wrong whatsoever and was still tried and convicted as somebody who did. And he still endured it. He still endured it, and he didn't just endure it, he endured it well. It said, for the joy set before him, he saw something. He saw something way out there and said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to endure this for the joy set before me. And what was that joy? It was us. It was us, and it was obeying his Father's command. But it was you and me. That was the joy set before him. So he endured the cross, and he endured all of the hardships that he went through, and he did it well. So well that as he entered heaven, God said, sit at my right hand and rule and reign until all your enemies are made a footstool. So Christ endured. The scripture says clearly that the sufferings of Christ will flow over into our lives. If you are a son or a daughter of God, his sufferings will overflow into your life, and you will be called to endure hardships just like him. And we're expected to endure it like he endured it, to endure it well, to endure it with faith and with confidence, knowing that he that is in me is greater than what's in the world. Amen? That's our confidence. My whole sermon last week was, I tried to be encouraging to you guys because I said that I had known several people that were going through trials and struggles in their lives, and there's a lot of them going on right now, and I wanted to encourage you to endure to the end. And that is the good news, is that Christ endured. And that scripture that we read, Hebrews 12, says, consider him whenever you're enduring hardship. And he said, that way you won't lose heart when you're going through it. Consider him. Next time, or today, if you're in a trial, next time you're going through a trial, before you get started in it, or when you first find out about it, stop and consider Jesus Christ. And say, wait a second, I can do this. I can do this. Because he did it. We talked about how Christ can identify us in our weaknesses and in our hardships and difficulty because he endured. How good is that? I mean, like I always say, he could have came down here as Superman and struggled not at all and just conquered and reigned, but instead he allowed himself to suffer and go through things. And he did that out of his great love for us, for you. He wanted to know what it felt like so that he could pray for you in heaven. Again, I want to remind you that Christ at this moment is interceding for you. Scripture says he does it day and night. He is always interceding for the saints. And then there's somebody else that's also trying to, what is the scripture? That he is what, brothers, day and night? Remind me, I'm losing my words here. He is convicting, accusing. Yeah, the accuser of the brethren. That's Satan. So you've got Christ interceding for you all the time, and you've got Satan accusing you all the time. You need to know that. But Christ endured, and we will endure also. The scripture said in Hebrews that if we endure our hardship with him, that we will share in his holiness, that it will make us unique. You know, the word holy just means to be set apart. So you're unique when you're enduring hardship for the glory of God. What that means is that, like everything else that's holy, the world will look at that and say, how are you doing that? And it will bring glory to God. It has the aroma of God on it when you're enduring to the glory of God. We talked about the difference between enduring and enduring well. Everybody endures. Everybody endures. Whether you're lost or saved, you're going to endure hardship and difficulty. But it's in the way that you do it that is going to set you apart as a man or a woman of God. The world, when I think about the old Brantley enduring my difficulties, I would just grit my teeth and just try to go through it. And I'd be complaining all the way. And I would do everything I could to get out of it. And I would probably have a victim's mentality. And I said, poor me. I don't deserve this. But the way that the Brantley with Christ in me, hopefully, says, I know who lives in me. And I'm confident that I'm going to endure this to the very end, and there's going to be a reward at the end. It changes your whole person, your whole outlook on the entire circumstance whenever you know that you're enduring for Christ. Well, today I want to speak about when I am weak, he is strong. Say it with me. When I am weak, he is strong. He is strong. I spoke about all these things on endurance last week, and just basically that we were, like I just went through, we were called to endure, we were called to be a people of endurance. But I didn't really get into the point of what is the source that gives us the ability to endure. Because if you're not careful, you'll just try to grit your teeth like the world does. So I want to talk a little bit about what is the source of our ability to endure difficulty. Because I don't want you to be confused. We cannot endure the things that the world throws at us. We do not have that ability by ourselves. The number one problem in this topic is that we think we've got it. We think we can handle it. But we can't handle it. It's only Christ in us that can handle that. And the quicker that you can get out of the way, the faster God will be able to rule and reign in your life. Amen? We don't endure like the world endures. It is Christ in us that enables us to endure. I told you a story about how I had ran a bunch of duck underneath a house when I was young. It was one of my first jobs ever, and how terrible it was. And I was under there for 2 weeks, and did it all, and the house flooded, and it flooded all my ductwork, and I had to pull it all out. And I didn't know what to do, and I began to cry out to God because I was ready and willing to walk away from that job. And it was only when I was weak at that moment. It was only with the words when I said, I cannot do this anymore, that I felt like the power of God was able to come in and help me through that next phase of my trial. My attitude changed, and I was able to go back, and the contractor saw that my attitude had changed, and because I was debating on just walking away. Like I told y'all last, the old Brantley would have just walked away. But because Christ had lived in me, I knew that I couldn't walk away, that I had to finish the job. And so I went back up under there after I gathered myself for many hours and of crying and getting over it and realizing that he had called me to endure. And I got back under the house and I finished the job. And it was so appealing to the contractor that he even told me, he said, I thought you were for sure going to run off. And he gave me 30 plus jobs after that. It was the beginning of my business. It totally built my business. And I was able to survive all these years really from that foundation. But it was when I became weak that he was able to become strong. It's always when you get to the end of your rope that I think God says, finally, you're here. You're here. But what would happen if we started at the end of our rope? What would happen if we just knew immediately when we were about to face a trial, I know that I'm not strong. I know that I'm weak. And I know that I need your help. If you started with that, you wouldn't have to go through all the difficulty to get to the place where you get there. And finally, God says, now I've crushed you down to the degree where you know you need my help. Has it ever occurred to you that during the trials that you're in right now, that maybe God is trying to get you out of the way? That maybe he's working on you in such a way, and he's dealing with you, and he says, I will not quit because I love you, and I want to work in you. I want to work something in you. And you keep fighting me. That happens to me all the time. All the time. I can't tell you how many times we've been slow at work and I didn't have enough money coming. And I'm just doing everything I can to try to get money to come. And I'm calling all my old customers that didn't pay me. And I'm getting all upset. And I'm thinking about all these ways that I can try to make money. And I'm going to, you know, even to the point where it starts to get manipulative, you know, where I'm just doing whatever I can do to try to get the money in because I'm afraid. And it's only when nothing happens and I don't get any response from anybody and I don't get any more money in that finally I go home and I lay in my bed and I just say, Lord, I can't do it. I can't do it. And I'm telling y'all, that is when he says, now we can work. Now we can work. That's the kind of weakness that Paul is talking about here that we're about to read. Paul says, when I'm weak, he can become strong. And Paul says, I'm going to boast in my weaknesses. You ever done that? Boast in your weaknesses? To be glad whenever you face a terrible trial? Paul talks about that. Let's turn to it. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 11:16. We'll read through 12:10. And I'll lay this out for you a little bit. In Corinth, Paul had come once in 1 Corinthians and preached the gospel to the Corinthians and had a harvest and had a great time apparently. And then he left, and while he was gone, some guys came in that Paul sarcastically calls the super apostles. This whole thing is funny because Paul's mad, and so he's being very sarcastic throughout this whole thing. But some guys came in and they began to say that what Paul said was wrong. Paul had told them, he said, don't get circumcised. You don't have to get circumcised. He said, because now we're dealing with the circumcision of the heart. And what they said was, no, you do have to be circumcised. They went back on everything that Paul had said. And Paul's madness, the Corinthians believed them and began to do the things that they said. And they also apparently tithed to these people, these super apostles. And Paul didn't get any money. And so Paul's going through this whole list of everything that he's been through. It's an interesting and eye-opening study here. Paul's kind of losing his mind on this thing. But it's good. It's really good. He's talking about his weakness. You want to talk about endurance, just listen to this. So he starts in. So he's arguing his point against the super apostles in verse 16, 11:16, 2 Corinthians. He says, I repeat, let no one take me for a fool. But if you do, then receive me just as you would a fool, so that I may do a little boasting. In this self-confident boasting, I am not talking as the Lord would, but as a fool. Since many are boasting in the way the world does, I too will boast. You gladly put up with fools, since you are so wise. In fact, you even put up with anyone who enslaves you, or exploits you, or takes advantage of you, or pushes himself forward, or slaps you in the face. To my shame, I admit, we were too weak for that. What anyone else dares to boast about, I'm speaking as a fool. I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this, but I am more. I have worked much harder. I have been in prison more frequently. I've been flogged more severely. I've been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a day and a night in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. And besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I don't feel weak? Who is led into sin and I don't inwardly burn? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weaknesses. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under King Aretas had the city of Damascus guarded in order to arrest me. But I was lowered in a basket from a window in the wall, and I slipped through his hands. If I must go on boasting, although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I don't know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I wouldn't be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain so that no one will think more of me than what is warranted by what I do or what I say. To keep me from being conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weaknesses, and in insults, hardships, and in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." What a word. What a guy Paul is. What a testimony. What endurance this guy has. How many of you are thankful for Paul? We wouldn't be here today if it weren't for Paul. We wouldn't have the gospel if it weren't for a man like that that endured. But Paul found an amazing secret during all of this trauma and this difficulty that he was going through. And it's the one that I'm preaching about this morning. He found that he wasn't strong. He found that it was only in his weakness that he became strong. It was only when he came to the end of his rope and didn't know what else to do, and that he couldn't survive, and he couldn't do all of these things. He understood, he figured it out, that it was his weakness. And when he finally acknowledged it, that God could do something powerful in his life. So he began to see it coming, it sounds like. It sounds like he said when he'd see these trials coming, he said, "I began to boast about my weaknesses. Because I knew that when I was going through something difficult, when it was coming, I knew that God was going to be strong, which in turn is going to make me strong. What a counterculture mindset. What a different against the grain mindset. All our lives we've been told to be strong, pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, and there's value to self-discipline. Don't get me wrong. But we weren't designed to bear the burdens that we have to bear by ourselves. Your mind and spirit and soul and body were not designed to be able to overcome everything in life by yourself. In fact, I think that like we talked about with Ms. Autumn and some of the testimonies, that even the smallest thing God wants to help you with, that you need Him to help you with. You weren't designed to carry the burden of the trial that you're going through. You never were designed for it. And the answer out of it is to say those words. I know that I wasn't built for this. I need you. I can't do this without you. That's hard for people to say. It's hard. Usually, for me, if I'm being vulnerable, I will exhaust every opportunity before I say that. And I've been walking with God for a long time. That's sad. It needs to be the first thing that I go to. Immediately. Oh, Lord, I can't do this without you. There's a choice you make every morning when you wake up, and that is, are you God or is He God? Will you rule your life today or will He rule your life today? Can you get out of the way in order enough for Him to work in you? Or is it about you? Do you got it? Once you live life long enough, you find out you don't got it. We want to be God. We want to be in control. That's the problem. When we're talking about this weakness, we're talking about self, our love of self. That has to die. Paul says, the same guy, Paul said, I crucify myself every day. I crucify myself every day so that He can live in me. Paul said, Christ in me is the hope of glory, not me. Mr. Murphy taught such a great sermon so many years ago. It changed my life. He said, when he dies, when I go to heaven, I'm not going to tell him all the great things I've done. I'm going to say, I plead the blood. How many of y'all remember that sermon? That's such a powerful sermon. Mr. Murphy said, I'm not worried about a big screen showing all my sins. I'm just going to say, I plead the blood. I have nothing to bring to the table. That's being weak and understanding it. He understands that within himself there's nothing to offer. Well, you don't have to wait till you die to do that. You can do that every day. Every day. I have nothing to offer. I know that I can't do this by myself. When I am weak, you are strong. And I want you to be strong in my life. Only one of us can rule. And this is a giving of yourself. God does not rip it out of you. He will not take control of you. It has to be a gift to Him. Now, He'll put you in some trials that will make you give in over time. But He's not going to just tear it. Even then, it still has to be a choice of free will. Not me, but you, Lord. How many of you have learned this over the years? Has anybody in here learned this over the years? That you just can't handle it all by yourself? Paul is also the guy who said, I died, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That is my hope, is that I died. Like I said, we have a choice every morning that we have to make, whether or not it's going to be us or Christ. He is our strength. I love verse 7, His grace is sufficient for you, for His power is made perfect in our weakness. His grace is sufficient to you. I want to encourage you this morning that His grace is sufficient no matter what you're going through. It is sufficient for you. No matter what you think, it's enough. It really is enough. If it was enough for Paul and everything he went through, it's enough. I also love that Paul, who had tremendous faith, tremendous faith, raised people from the dead, all the stuff that Paul did, I love that he asked God three times, and that was it. I just think that's interesting. He knew that God had heard him. He didn't have to ask again. That was enough. He trusted God. He trusted that he heard him, and if he wanted to remove it, he would have removed it. He decided then to begin to live in his weakness in that area, and that the grace would be sufficient. Thinking of, how many of y'all listen to Charlie Kirk's wife's address? It's tough when you heard that, when I heard that. In her weakness, Christ will be strong. That's what your hope is in that. I want to encourage you this morning that when you know that you're about to go into a trial, or if you're in the middle of a trial, Paul says, I delight in it. I delight in my hardships, my difficulty, because I know that it's going to make me weak, and then I'm going to become strong. That's very hard to do, and I know that, but I want to challenge you. That's Paul's word to us, is that he said when we're weak. He said when I'm weak, he said I delight in it. With persecution, with weakness, I say insults, hardships, and persecutions, and difficulties. But when I am weak, then I am strong. I want to encourage you to try to delight in it, to try to see it coming and say, here we go. Here we go. I've done this before a couple of times. It took me a little while to get over the shell shock of what I was about to go through. But then after that, I said, you know what? This is a great opportunity. This is a great opportunity for God to show himself strong. And I believe that once you have that mentality, everything just looks different from that point on. You're waiting to see how he's going to be strong in your life. And he wants to be strong for you. He wants to be strong for you this morning. He wants you to get out of the way so that he can help you. He wants you to get to the end of your rope so that finally he can say, now I can actually work in you. Get to the end of your rope today. Be done with it and let God help you. Don't cry about it anymore. Cry to him and then let him help you. Amen? Amen. Because that's what he's here for. And you weren't designed to bear it by yourself. What a great God we have. What great words that he's given us that we can read these things and get encouraged. So encouraging. I love Paul. I feel like I got to know Paul. Like I've known Paul. I know his heart and his spirit now. I love Paul. And he encourages me every day. Thanks be to God for being our strength and our difficulty. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that no matter what we're going through, Lord, we know that you can identify with us because you've been through it all and more. The word says that you've been through every trial and every temptation just like us. There's nothing that you don't understand. Therefore, you can be strong in us, Lord. And you want to help us, Lord. You want to be there with us in our difficulties. I pray, Father, that you help us to not be stubborn, not to try to be in control all the time, Lord, but to release control to you in every area of our lives so that we can truly be strong. I pray that you bless your people today. Whatever anybody's going through in this room, Lord, I pray that you be with them and that you help them. Pray that you speak to them and encourage them, Lord. We love you so much and pray that you bless this week. I pray that it will be found worthy of the calling that we've received. As we go out of here, Lord, pray that you be with everybody in this room. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.